The Youth's Instructor, December 28, 1899. Tempted in all points, like as we are. Part 2. The Youth's Instructor, December 28, 1899. Tempted in all points, like as we are. Part 2. Christ paid an infinite price to redeem the world. He sacrificed his honor, his riches, his glorious home and the royal courts, and endured the fierce assaults of Satan, that man might have strength to overcome as he overcame. The temptations that Satan brings to bear upon the human race are severe. But his test for the Son of God was a hundredfold more severe. It was not merely the gnawing pangs of hunger that made Christ's sufferings so intense. It was the guilt of the sins of the world, which pressed so heavily upon him. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. With this terrible weight of guilt upon him, he withstood the fearful test upon appetite, upon the love of the world and of honor, and upon pride of display, which leads to presumption. Christ endured these great temptations, overcoming in our behalf, and working out for us a righteous character. Many who fall under temptation excuse themselves with the plea that Christ's divinity helped him overcome, and that man has not this power in his favor. But this is a mistake. Christ has brought divine power within the reach of all. The Son of God came to the earth because he saw that moral power in man is weak. He came to bring finite man in close connection with God. It is by combining divine power with his human strength that man becomes an overcomer. When we are tempted to question whether Christ resisted temptation as a man, we must search the Scriptures for the truth. As the substitute and surety of the human race, Christ was placed in the same position toward the Father as is the sinner. Christ had the privilege of depending on the Father for strength, and so have we. Because he laid hold of the hand of infinite power and held it fast, he overcame, and we are taught to do the same. He met every temptation with, "It is written," and so must we. The one who resists evil in his strength can say, in the words of inspiration, "The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me?" The language of Christ on many occasions shows that he was placed in the same position that we are. He had to walk by faith, as we walk by faith. And when temptations came to him with overwhelming power, he used the language that every child of earth must use. "The Son can do nothing of himself," Christ declared, "but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Christ has wrestled with the powers of darkness. He has trodden the road over which every son and daughter of Adam must pass. He knows how fierce is the conflict, and he gives us the gracious words of instruction and encouragement. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. This trust in God he contrasts with trust in self. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, he says, that compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Christ is the captain of our salvation. It became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The suffering that poured in upon the Son of God is beyond anything that man will be called to endure. Yet Christ overcame and perfected a spotless character. By his suffering and resistance, he made plain to man that perfection of character can be obtained and maintained by humanity. When Satan fails to lead men into sin by the first two temptations, those of appetite and presumption, he besets them with the third, the love of the world. And in almost every case, he leads them into apostasy by this means. It is the glory of this world that attracts and ensnares. But we have reason to thank God that the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering, and came off conqueror in our behalf. Every son and daughter of Adam may have this divine strength. The promise of the Comforter has been given us. He that believeth on me, said Jesus, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The power that came to Christ as a representative of the human race will come to every member of the human family who will make God his strength. We have a great high priest, which is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. We may take courage and believe that we shall overcome every imperfection of character. Our Redeemer has taken our nature, fought our battles, and in his name we shall conquer. Human nature may take hold of the strength of God and be victorious.